This is why I have such a problem with confrontational and debate-oriented evangelism. It's not gracious. Pray for open doors that you could share the gospel in a gracious manner, speaking in ways that outsiders do not deserve. We should have gracious speech to those who don't know Christ.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, God's Word has some important things to say about how we as Christians are to live our lives.
Indeed it does, Dave. And today we're going to see more specifically how we ought to live our lives in the context of those who don't know Christ. How are we to live in the midst of an unbelieving world? Well, the Lord God gives us the answer from His Word. Turn with us to Colossians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 2 through 6.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
To all the wealth which comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. It's about Jesus, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God would open a door to speak from the Word concerning Christ. Christ died for your sins according to Scriptures. He was buried. He rose from the dead. It's the good news that you can have eternal life. So Paul is saying it's for this eternally grand truth that he has also been, look at end of verse 3, imprisoned, for which I have been imprisoned. Paul was imprisoned under house arrest in Rome, chained 24/7 for the gospel, and he's praying for open doors for the word to proclaim it. What does he tell the Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians 3:1, I'll read this for you. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you. I think the missing element of evangelism is praying for God to open the doors for the word. It's part of it. And notice the Apostle Paul also shares that he needs God's strength and ability to do what he needs to do when that door is open. We pray for open doors, but we've got to pray that once that door's open, you will enable me to speak boldly what you've called me to say. So one is open door, but what do I do when no door's open? I need prayer for that too. Notice what he says here. Praying at the same time, verse 3, for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned. And here you go. In order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul understood he is gifted. He understood he was a preacher and a teacher, he says, but he also says he's an apostle, right? But he understood without God, he couldn't do it. And therefore, this humble and right request, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Not that we're adequate to consider anything that's coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. The term make it clear means to manifest. In the way I ought to. It speaks of compulsion and proper words. Lord, when you open the door, enable me to share your gospel, to share your truth the way I ought to share it. Paul shares dependence. You know, he said he came to the Corinthians in fear and trembling. Guess what? It's a fearful thing when God opens doors, you've got to speak to people, right? But you trust the Lord and you allow him to do it through you and he'll do it. Clear dependence on Christ. He needs to open doors and then how to speak when the doors open. And oh, that we would minister that way in total dependence. I have to. There's no way I could preach to you unless I was totally dependent. It's impossible. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. And pray on my behalf, verse 19, that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for me. Pray for each other, that we would speak boldly as we ought to speak when God opens the door. He doesn't say, I'll speak boldly. He's talking about the door open and speaking boldly. So many Christians speak boldly when the door is shut. It's easy to do that in a sense, in your own flesh. You speak boldly when he opens the door. Acts chapter 4, we have an example of a prayer of these believers when Peter and John had been released. At the end of their prayer, Acts 4:29, he says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence." And it says, the earth shook and they spoke the word. The Lord hears our prayers. We need to recognize how important prayer is and how powerful prayer is. I don't think we realize it. James chapter 5, verse 16, in the end, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the sky poured forth rain, and the earth produced fruit. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. You know you're going to have non-believers around you when you go to work. You pray, Lord God, and you pray for one another that you'd open a door for the word. And when you do, that it would speak it the way you would have us speak it, that we ought to speak. So often our interactions, I believe, fall short because we're not devoted to prayer. And then the Lord opens the door and we don't share rightly because we're not dependent on him. And that's probably. So first of all, how are we to interact towards non-believers? Where do we pray consistently? Are you praying for open doors and that we would share rightly when God opens that door, open doors for the word? Then secondly, notice we are to be around him in the context of wisdom. And most of it we're going to see in terms of our words. We saw in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, that they're going to see our good works, but they're also going to hear our words too. And we're going to see that our words should be seasoned with grace, as it were, salt. Look at verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. This context is non-believers, as we're going to see. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. At this point, I believe Paul, as some say, he's starting a brand new subject, and I don't think it is. I don't think it's unrelated at all. I think it's connected. He says here, literally, I believe he's going to show us how to discern and step through the doors that God opens. Now we're going to get discern how to do so. We're to conduct ourselves with wisdom. We're going to see how God opens the doors and how to discern it. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Who are outsiders? The term conduct yourselves, peripateo, means your conduct, walk around, how you conduct yourselves, right? And it's a continual present tense, imperative mood. Continually, habitually conduct yourselves in a certain way. He says, with wisdom. Continually, habitually conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. And you say, who are outsiders? Well, those in this context are those outside of the church, in that they are not in the body of Christ, and thus they are not with the body of Christ. Someone might, if perhaps, come in and hear the word and fall on their knees and repent, but this is for the body of Christ. The gathering is for the church. The body of Christ gathers together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, I won't read the whole thing, but Paul's saying, hey, I wrote you not to associate with immoral people. He says, I didn't mean the immoral people of the world, otherwise you have to go out. But I told you not to associate with any so-called brother if they are a basically continual habitual sinner. And he says here, for what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? Outsiders out there, non-believers. But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Outsiders are non-believers. So we are to continually, habitually, commanded to conduct ourselves with non-believers with wisdom. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, we know that in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We know there is wisdom from above and wisdom from below. The wisdom from below, James 3:15, is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, sensible, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Proverbs 9:10 makes it clear the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You got a relationship with the Lord. You can be in his word all day long. If you don't fear him or desire his word, forget it. Proverbs chapter 2, turn there for a minute. We see this. Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon writes, my son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you. Now, Solomon, we see in Ecclesiastes 12, sought to write delightful words. and they're all given by one shepherd. Inspired by the Spirit, Psalm was giving God's word. He says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, equity, and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard over you, and understanding will watch over you. Be in the Word of God, let it dwell richly, and walk with wisdom around outsiders. That means God's Word is controlling how you interact with non-believers. Let God's wisdom control how you behave and act around those who are outside of the church because they haven't trusted in Jesus yet. God's wisdom is found in the context of a relationship with Christ through his word. And then notice he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. Now, this next thing, redeeming the time or making the most of the opportunity. In Greek, it reads literally, redeeming the time, buying back the time. Now, what does Paul mean by this? Well, before we came to Christ, our time was ours. We did as we pleased. We didn't consult God. We just did what we wanted. We were our own lords of our own time. But now that we're in Christ, he owns us and for his glory, and our time is his. We've been redeemed from our sin, and a price has been paid. Our Savior was slain to purchase us. And so this idea of buying back or redeeming speaks of a conscious action to see the time is the Lord's. Now, the context is around non-believers. To redeem the time that you have around those who aren't saved. That's really the context. And we're to be looking for, as we'll see, opportunities for open doors. We're to be redeeming the time. Now, does that mean we can't rest? Of course not. Does that mean we can't enjoy the things that God gives us freely? 1 Timothy 6. No, of course not. It doesn't mean that every minute of the day we have to be about this particular thing. It's in the context of as we are around non-believers, we are walking wisely and we are purchasing back the time. We're redeeming the time. We're seeing this as God's time when I'm around them. Okay? We see the same thing. Paul makes a strong case based on our identity in Christ and that we're not to allow immorality or impurity to be named among us, Ephesians 5. You know, because no immoral or impure person is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, don't be partakers. We're to be walking as children of light. We see Ephesians chapter 5. And then as he sums up, he says, Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. We're to be consciously recognizing our time around non-believers in this context is opportunities to share Christ. So notice what he says here. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Make the most of it. Redeem the time. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you respond to each person. This is really important because we saw that they're to see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven, but here it's talking about speech. How are we to be speaking around non-believers? Verse 6 literally reads, your word always in grace. And then Paul explains, seasoned as it were with salt. Literally seasoned with salt. Now the New Testament, contrary to popular opinion, speaks of salt as a seasoning, not a preservative. And we saw back in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, right? You are the flavor of God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, in the world, right? But here, our speech is to be seasoned with grace. Do you realize that our words and actions are the only manifestation of the righteousness and grace of God that the dying world will see? Yes, the gospel is the power unto salvation, and it is the word that brings forth new life through faith in Christ. But God has chosen to bring his word through people. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are begging, be reconciled to God in a sense. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. We need to know that. We need to know those truths. Ready to share when the doors open. So our speech is to be always seasoned with grace. Well, what's grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us in Christ. And what is gracious speech? It is speech from a heart that is depending on Christ. It is speech that the non-believer doesn't deserve. It is unmerited. They don't deserve it. Just like we didn't deserve his grace. You see, the non-believer deserves judgment. But today is the day of salvation. God will judge in his time. They deserve judgment, but God is gracious in bringing forth salvation. Now, right here, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were salt. This is impossible apart from divine intervention. We can't do it unless God is working in our hearts and we're consciously trusting in him. There's no other way. We must be spirit-led, word-filled, and completely dependent to have gracious speech. Because we all know so often our speech is not gracious at times. And we're hopefully convicted of that. I am. So what makes our speech different to those who don't know Christ? This is how we should be around non-believers. It should be flavored with grace. And again, so often our word is not flavored that way. So often we look at the world and its wretchedness and we get angry at sin. And thus the sinner, we should despise sin. But we need to recognize they are bound in sin and they need a Savior, Jesus Christ. So often we have ungracious words towards those who don't know Christ. They don't deserve it. And this is why I have such a problem with confrontational and debate-oriented evangelism. It's not gracious. Pray for open doors that you could share the gospel in a gracious manner. Speaking in ways that outsiders do not deserve. We should have gracious speech to those who don't know Christ. And we can be so ungracious at times to non-believers, getting mad for them using God's name in vain or shouting gospel in the streets, shouting repent or violently protesting abortion or something. We need to be gracious. Abortion is evil, it's murder, but we need to be gracious. They need Jesus. The abortionist who comes to Christ will no longer do abortions. The young girl who's getting an abortion comes to Christ, she's not going to have an abortion. They need Jesus. Redeem the time. Don't waste it debating, but grace them. Is your speech gracious? God's word pouring out at the right moment. We have the words of life. Now, we ought to have our speech gracious for others, too. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, we need to not confuse an understanding of their wickedness and talking about that in a sense versus being gracious to those who are in their wickedness. We train our kids that these things are bad. We go bad, we look at that bad, that's not good, this is evil, that's evil, that's evil. We need to be careful that we don't take that attitude and apply it to them in the way we treat them. We need to be gracious. They are caught up in their sin, they need a Savior. Ephesians 4, it says here, such a word good for edification according to the need of the moment that it may give what? Grace to those who hear. One pastor writes, pleasing speech should be a characteristic of all believers. We need to be careful what we talk about. Our speech should be seasoned with salt. And if I'm always complaining about my job or the boss or in turn talk to my coworkers about graciousness, love, and kindness, is that seen in my actions and words? Basically, it's hypocrisy, right? If you're gracious here, then you're always complaining at some other time, right? Every circumstance requires special wisdom from God alone. Walk with wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom on how to deal with this. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. Set him apart as Lord, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. As we get close to closing here, let me share some proverbs about the lips. You can follow through or not. A lot of it's in chapter 10. We'll start there, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. But I'm just going to read through these, or you can note down the verses or just listen. Proverbs 10, 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 10, 13. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but the rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. Proverbs 10, 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Proverbs 10:19, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. That's God's wisdom. So it's working in me. I'm going to restrain my lips. I'm going to be careful around outsiders, right? And certainly in general. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. The tongue of the evil will be cut out. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spout folly. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Walk with wisdom towards outsiders. Ponder how to answer, right? Ponders how to, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil things. Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Proverbs 21:23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proverbs 23:16, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. And Ecclesiastes 10:12, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of the fool consume him. And one last passage, turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 17, and this is when the Lord Jesus is beginning his ministry. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. When we bring forth God's word in the right context and wisdom, when our lips are restrained because the Spirit of God is working on our heart, when we're making the opportunities most with outsiders, then it's going to be gracious speech. Indeed, what your speech is reveals where your heart is. Matthew 12, you can look at that. So God's gracious word and character should be pouring forth out of our hearts at the right moment. Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And again, as we close, words from the mouth of wise men are gracious. So how are we to share Christ with a lost world? So many different ways of evangelism or whatever it is. How are we to do it? What does God's word say? We need to pray for opportunities for the word of Christ to be brought forth and to be able to share it when God opens the door. And secondly, we need to walk wisely towards non-believers, understanding and discerning how to step through the doors God opens, redeeming the time, speaking graciously.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's the application for us?
Well, Dave, the application is pretty clear. Our speech is to be gracious, seasoned with grace, as it were, salt, so that we would know how to answer everyone. You know, I didn't get to the very last portion of verse 6, but it says, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And how do we respond to each person? With gracious speech, speech they don't deserve, praying for open doors for the word that we might be able to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ Oh, how ungracious our speech is at times, but it needs to be gracious, brothers and sisters, and only the God of all grace can enable us to do that. So trust Him and let Him help you have gracious speech to those who do not deserve it, and God just might open the door for salvation.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.